Hi, and welcome to our 13th podcast, lucky number 13.
Oh yeah, that's
a
good one.
This is Myra and Lisa with Moms on Autism, and we are being distributed by autismpodcast.org, and we are momsonautism.com. Yeah. .com.org.
Doesn't that sound funny when we say it?
Today, this is Lisa's topic, Lisa's baby. One of the things that we feel is very important is acceptance. And I think one of the hardest things, especially as parents, is to accept the diagnosis of autism. And Lisa's right now, we've been talking obviously before we record this, and she's
I just feel like I'm on this big mission, and I feel like I have this urge to be philosophical. I'm not really trying to be, but I just feel like acceptance and denial mm-hmm. of autism is a really big part of our picking up the pieces of the puzzle.
I think, like we were talking earlier, it is a huge piece. It's that biggest piece, because once you get over that, once you find that piece, you know, whether it be a corner or a middle or an edge, you know, whatever, once you find that piece, things start to move. Once your child has been officially diagnosed and you accept it, that's when you can get the most help, mm-hmm. whether it be through your schools, whether it be from your pediatrician, whether it be from
an
autism center. You find so much out there. When Darby was two, we had him in a government-funded program that was, you know, first steps, and it helped him with speech and occupational therapy. We had that going on for about a year. And then we got a diagnosis of severe speech delay and PPD and OS, and we ran the whole gamut of diagnoses until somebody said, call it what you want. He's on the spectrum.
Right. That's right.
He said, call it what you want. He's on the spectrum. And I recommend to you getting as much speech therapy as you can. And once the schools even had that, it allowed Darby to get services through preschool. And once I had that diagnosis, I knew where to start looking, and that's where I found the professor that helped mm-hmm. us get the tutors and start our ABA program. Mm-hmm. So once we had that diagnosis, it opened up so many more
doors
for me.
But I have to stop you. And mm-hmm. I have to stop you for a second, because I kind of want a tangent on that. Mm-hmm. But how did you have an issue with accepting and denying? Because
huge.
I had a huge one. Okay.
Yeah, but you know what? And because I had heard from the time he was two, it was first he had a severe speech delay and some sensory integration dysfunction disorder, whatever you want to call it. Okay, I was fine with that.
All right.
And we had the speech therapist and the occupational therapist when he was two through the government program that our state offers. And then we had a psychologist that came and worked with us too. And when Darby was finally turning three and going into the preschools, the psychologist told me, I don't think he's autistic. I think it's PPD and OS. You know, pervasive developmental disorder, not otherwise specified, or you know, I can't
Something
remember
like
the acronyms,
that.
But that's what he told me. And so in my mind, I knew it was on the spectrum, but for some reason that autism just scared me. And so when I'm talking to my husband on the way back from the evaluation from the neuropsychologist who said, you know, call it what you want, he's on the spectrum, do this and this. When I'm talking to my husband saying, you know, this man just met him for an hour. You know, how does he know?
Oh, maybe that was your form of denial in a way?
Exactly, because I was sitting there telling my husband, the psychologist that we met with for 6 months, who came in and saw Darby 1 hour every week for 6 months, didn't think he was.
Okay.
He didn't have enough of the criteria. Mm-hmm. And Jim, my husband, looked at me, Jim said, what does it matter? How are we going to get the most help? And I just kind of went, oh, okay. And I still, you know, it still took me some time. It still took me some time, and still until I started going into these preschool meetings, and they were saying, if he is autistic, if he has this, it will qualify him for speech therapy, occupational therapy through the schools. Mm-hmm. And then when he signed up for kindergarten, if he is under the autism label, he will get extra help at kindergarten, mm-hmm. and he will have an offered of an extended day for him that mm-hmm. will help tutor him. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, if he has this autism diagnosis, we can start ABA through this university where this professor said, I take kids, you know, there's a lot of kids on the spectrum, but I want official autism diagnosis. Mm-hmm. And you know what? It opened up a lot more doors for me.
You know, I'm just sitting here thinking about Mateo in preschool, and I can remember getting him started. And this was after we took him to have his ears tested, and it was the ENT that told me, I think he has autism. Mm-hmm. And this is how I handled it. I mean, I'm listening to you, and it's mm-hmm. kind of bringing back memories, mm-hmm. which I hope this is what it does for all of you out there, mm-hmm. because sometimes I think we block things out, mm-hmm. or maybe in the course of events, just things kind of get pushed back. But I can remember him saying the word autism, and I got scared, and I remember crying, and I remember thinking all these just strange things, that maybe because I didn't know what autism was, mm-hmm. and I felt like I should know what it was. Mm-hmm. But I remember calling my husband on the way home, mm-hmm. and he said, this reminds me of your husband.
Right.
He said, well, you know, if that's what it is, now we know what to do about it, okay?
Right.
So step forward then to when we were in his preschool, when he was 3 years old, 3 and a half. I don't remember, and maybe I did. I remember filling out all the paperwork, and I remember he had to have a doctor's, you know, thing, note, whatever, for him right. to attend this preschool, because it was a program for
special needs
and things like that. And I think, I don't even remember talking about the word autism at that time. I think what happened was, because of my personality, because of my nervousness, because of how, yeah, it was how they had to handle me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the word really, really didn't come up all that much. They may have kind of gone around it, and I'm kind of ashamed of myself for have acting that way in the beginning, but that's how they handled me. So we went through the program, we were kind of going through it, and we were halfway through the year. Oh, I think we were almost even to spring, and I can remember the autism in our school's autism specialist or whatever, she comes in and actually diagnoses. I remember the teacher, Charlene, at that time saying, you know, such and such is coming in, and she's going to be evaluating Mateo. And I can remember just this big... You know, I just remember her putting her arms around me and saying, Lisa, you know, I think he has autism, and it's okay.
Right.
If he's diagnosed, then we can do these things that we
right.
were talking about. And then all of a sudden all these lights started shining on to me, and I started mm-hmm. thinking, okay, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. And then it still took me until that November. I'm probably talking too long now, but
no.
it took me until that November when we actually saw it on a piece of paper
mm-hmm.
that it hit me, you know, and it was mild,
right?
Mild autism with a delay in I can't remember now. Speech and I can't even talk to speech
sensory.
And communication disorder.
Communication. Yeah, right.
A speech delay.
Mm-hmm.
So I can remember, you know, reading that. That scared me, but it was in paper, you know, right in front of me, and it almost was a relief.
Mm-hmm.
And then they guided me then that next year on how to deal with things. And my acceptance, I don't even think came then until a whole year later when I realized, because I remember starting to feel sorry for myself. I remember, this is where I feel like it's so important to say.
Right.
I can remember laying out, not that I was laying out by the pool. I'm never laying out by the pool, but I mean, I was, I was around the pool with the kids, and I can remember being so sad all the time, thinking, mm-hmm. what
Morning.
Do I do? You know, who do I tell? Mm-hmm. I don't want to tell anybody. Something's wrong. What did I do? Did I do something different when I was pregnant? This and that. And it was like all of a sudden one day, this light just shined and went, Lisa, you're not going to help Mateo
by feeling sorry for yourself.
You need
right.
to say the word. You need to move forward. And it was then and there
mm-hmm.
that I was able to talk to my family about it, and I was able to say the word autism, and I wasn't ashamed. It was almost like all of a sudden the only way I knew I could help was to be his advocate and change it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
right.
why I think it's so important.
Right. No, and you know, I agree, and I think I still to this day will have little pity parties for myself from time to time. I think, you know, why does Darby have to struggle so hard? Why does he have to have these issues where a lot of typical kids don't? But then I also look at it as, you know, I was meant to have Darby and meant to help him in this way. And so my acceptance actually, I don't think came, well, I still have a hard time with it sometimes, and I'm not going to lie about that. There's times that I feel sorry for myself, or I wish Darby didn't have to go to this therapy or that therapy. But you know what? When it hits me the most is when we go through the testing at schools, when there's these standardized testing and everything comes back low, low, low. And I look at my child, and I look at Darby, and I'm like, he is so smart.
I know, that part's hard.
You know, I look at him, and I think, he knows this stuff. Unfortunately, it has to be asked in the way that he knows. But he does know it. And those standardized tests are standardized. It's
I
for
know,
the
and
cookie
those bother
cutter
me,
kid.
Actually.
It's for the cookie cutter kid, mm-hmm. and that's just how it is. But, you know, you ask Darby a lot of questions, and he can answer them, but Darby is totally teachable. I guess that's the best thing I could say about Darby.
Word.
He's teachable. He can learn anything, and he's proven that.
Mm-hmm.
It might be on his speed and his terms, and it might have to be a certain way, but he is totally teachable, and he learns things so well that I guess my little own issue that I have is that it's hard for me to accept some of the test scores when it says that he's low, because mm-hmm. I know he knows this stuff mm-hmm. because we've worked with him mm-hmm. and he's a smart kid mm-hmm. and unfortunately parents in general, when they talk about their kids, they talk about testing and, oh, my child is so smart, my child
wow.
is so smart. And with Darby, I know he's smart, but unfortunately, I don't know how to prove it to people.
I know, and that is hard. I have trouble with those testing scores and things like that too, but I have learned to look at him and say, you know, maybe this area really isn't all that important. Mm-hmm. You know, he's probably 200% ahead of somebody else in a whole nother area, mm-hmm. and I wish they had another way to test it.
Right.
You know, it's just like all the things that we're changing now in his own programming. It's like we sat down the other night and went, you know, is this really important? Mm-hmm. You know, I probably shouldn't even bring this up either, but is it really important right now that he tie his shoes? No. You know,
all the shoes are Velcro.
You know, well, yeah, they're Velcro, and you can, you know, and maybe he'll be 10.
Mm-hmm.
But do we want to recognize our name, and do we want to add and subtract? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So those scores to me are kind of, you know, even with all my other kids, you know, I think they're important and they're becoming more important as we're entering high school and things like that. But sometimes I just think you have to sit back and go, what really is important? What really,
right.
you know, it's just like the accepting and denying. Is it important that everyone, you know, that you meet and greet and everything accept that your child has autism? No. But is it important that we do and we become their advocate? Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think, and that's why we're doing this, mm-hmm. these podcasts
right.
and our website, because Myra and I both feel that we're going to make a whole difference in our son's lives
mm-hmm.
and that all of you out there who are dealing with the same issues can do the same. You just have to touch it and grab it and say, mm-hmm. you know,
right.
it's all right.
Yeah.
It really is. It's also it brought so many good things to us.
Right. And it's amazing that the people that you meet that are so much more accepting of kids with disabilities than they were back when we were in
when we were kids.
There's so many mothers that will come up to me. Unfortunately, I don't have the benefit of Darby talking about every single classmate. I mean, he talks about certain
ones.
Right,
well, he does good.
He does really good. But, you know, he doesn't go into his day about, oh, we did this, and then I talked to this person. So all these parents and these kids know Darby, and I have a hard time because I'm kind of left out because some of my puzzle pieces missing when it comes to his school classmates. But it's so nice because I have had so many moms that have come up to me, Darby is the nicest boy. He is so sweet, and they get on his level. They talk to him in his face, and he smiles at them, and he recognizes them. And it's so nice that these parents aren't, oh gosh, don't talk to Darby because he's got this.
Doesn't that make
different.
You feel so good?
Oh, it makes me feel wonderful because I pray that I am as accepting of everybody else. You know,
I do too.
I've learned a lot. This is really the one thing with the acceptance that's helped me is become more humble, and that I am more accepting of people's differences. Where
mm-hmm.
before I might have looked at somebody,
well,
you know, differently.
Well, sure.
But now I, you know, if somebody looks different, acts different, it doesn't bother me.
Oh.
I don't mind if, you know.
Yeah.
Somebody look. I don't know. I can't
explain it. I know, but I know
what
you're saying. Well, it's the same thing.
I
feel like how it's also helped our family
mm-hmm.
in a way, because until I could accept it,
mm-hmm.
you know, my husband didn't really have the issue as much as I did.
Mm-hmm.
It was more me,
mm-hmm.
you know. But until I could accept it, how could I expect my children to
mm-hmm.
accept it and talk about it? And now
and
I'm just so proud of them, you know,
mm-hmm.
because they'll. You know, Mateo's not different.
Mm-mm.
Well, he signs, and that's how
yeah,
he talks. And
now
I've got kids coming over that know so many signs, and they just think it's really neat. So
and that's another podcast that we have.
I know.
Sign
hey,
language.
Yeah,
talking with your hands.
Yeah. Which one was that again? You guys need to check that out.
Yeah, that was a good one. That was interesting because it opened up a whole new world for you guys. But anyway.
So we just wanted to talk about that, and I just feel like, well, we both feel that
mm-hmm.
if we can't say the word, you know, look at the word, be proud of our kids, even though they have, they're on the autism
spectrum
or whatever, you know, we can't move forward until
it's accepted,
By us.
And the child can't either, because that's when you find you get the most help.
I know.
So anyway, thank you for listening. If you have any comments, we'd love to hear from you. MomsOnAutism.com. You can email either Lisa at MomsOnAutism.com or Myra at MomsOnAutism.com. Have
Take
a great
care.
Day. Thank you.
Bye.